Joining me now is Darren Howling. Darren is the provides the qualitative research for the FundSource Fund Manager of the Year Awards. He's over here from Australia for the awards tonight, and he's going to reveal, you know, the winners of the FundSource Fund Manager of the Year Awards. Darren, welcome.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for having me in today. Appreciate it.
No, it's good to have you here. So the awards, we've got the winner is?
So the winner of Fund Manager of the Year is BT Funds Management. And it's been, all I can say is it's been a very competitive year. It's been very close.
So BT's interesting because in the old days, it was a name all the financial planners would have known. It was a big player in the market. Now it's a name no one really hears, and they come out of nowhere and take this award.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, I think the interesting thing coming out of the awards process this year is it hasn't been dominated by any one specific manager. So there's been a lot, most managers that are in the mix for the finalists or were finalists and up for the big award of Fund Manager of the Year have all taken out a sector, but there's been no dominance. And that's, this year has been very different in that respect from what it was in 2016, where there's a very clear pathway.
So last year, the results were really clear who was going to win.
Yes.
And this year?
We're coming down to teeth and nails between the difference between each of the funds and each of the fund managers.
So it's that close. It's a bit like some of these races we've seen recently where they're crossing the line together. Mo Farah, I'm thinking of. That's really. What do you think that is?
Look, I think it's the year's been a bit of a tale of two halves. I think some managers perform very well. So the period that we assess is from 1 July 2016 to 30 June 2017. And over the course of that year, we've had some pretty significant events. We've had Brexit, we've had elections in the US, we've had surprise results pretty much all round. And one of the things that has been a little bit missing out of the market too has been some volatility. Mm-hmm. So I think that's seeing a lot of compression of returns, and therefore we're starting to see a lot of the gaps between the managers are very close.
So do you think it's a bit unusual this year that it's so close, or is it saying something about the industry?
Well, I think the New Zealand industry is a very competitive industry, and I think every manager is obviously trying to do the best they can with the funds that they are operating, the tools at their disposal. And I think it's reflective of the serious manner in which each of these fund managers in the New Zealand market take it. And also that there is a little bit of creeping across the ditch now with there are some more Australian fund managers that are making their way across. That may be raising the bar a little bit, I don't know.
So it's interesting because this is the first year that FundSource have had Australian managers have been eligible for the awards, and I see looking at the results, we had quite a few Australian managers featuring this time round. So maybe that's putting a bit of pressure on the New Zealand guys?
It may well do, I don't know. It is the first year, next year could be very different. What we have seen is, pleasingly, we have seen some domestic, so New Zealand-based managers have actually outperformed in sectors that you would think Australian managers would do well in. And global property is one of those, where we've had a domestic manager, Fisher has taken that out. And by a reasonable
If someone said to me, do you expect Fisher Funds to take out a global property award, I wouldn't even cross my mind. So fascinating, yeah.
Again, I think it's sort of like the mix of assets that you can have invested, you know, some of the domestic fund managers can invest in. So obviously having infrastructure in there, probably a little bit less volatile than property can be on occasions, and that's probably been one of the key drivers coming out of the Fishers doing so well in that regard.
And so one of the other big talking points out of the awards this year is the fact that the guys who were the other finalists in the overall awards was one of our most active managers, Harbour, plus Smart Shares, who runs a passive strategy. How can that happen?
Well, with the Smart Shares, it's very much the mid-cap ETF that's done extremely well.
Indeed, that's actually the best performing New Zealand equity fund in the market, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. So if you can slice and dice the universe correctly, and sometimes passive investing will work. Yeah. I don't think that there is any one particular active or passive that is necessarily better in different market cycles. Different parts, active or passive management can work, and I think that's what's borne out this year.
Yeah, and the awards are interesting because a lot of people think it's just taken on 1 year performance, but it's a bit bit deeper than that, isn't it? Do you want to sort of give us a bit of an overview of, you know, how that, how there's more to it?
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. So, look, it can on the surface, it can look a little bit like a one-year performance shootout. And in some respects, yes, the one-year performance is a key component, particularly for the sector winners. But sitting behind that, obviously, Fund Source as a group is very much aware that you want to be careful of one-hit wonders or one-year wonders, and therefore, to mitigate that out, we look at things like the three-year volatility-adjusted Sharpe ratio. So we're taking into consideration, you know, risk-adjusted performance, plus adding a volatility overlay to that to make sure that managers aren't taking too much excess risk or incorporating too much volatility into their portfolios. That means that they're going to potentially generate a stronger result. We also look at things like qualitative components. Every fund manager has to go through qualitative review, and that's irrespective of whether or not Fund Source has actually produced the qualitative research report. So it's mandatory to participate in that. This year,
did they do that?
I was just about to say, this year we actually had two managers that didn't get back in touch with us. I'm not going to disclose who they are, but two managers didn't get back in touch with us, so they are actually excluded out of the process.
Which is interesting, isn't it? So just finally, you know, the awards, you know, I think awards are quite useful, but how important are they and how much weight should people put on them?
As an individual investor, look, awards can be a good indication of how fund managers performed in the last 12 months in this case, because that is one of, it is a key criteria. As much as we have, look to mitigate some of the risk out at the back end, it is still about what happens over the last 12 months. I believe, and FundSource believes, that awards are useful for highlighting and rewarding the industry, but it shouldn't be the sole determinant for an investor to make an investment decision on. There are many other factors that need to be incorporated into that.
And I guess if you look at awards, you know, looking at previous awards and this consistent performance, that's probably quite a good sign too, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. History can be useful in having a look at how, but again, it doesn't suggest how that manager is going to perform going forward.
We all know the phrase about past performance.
Yes.
I don't think we need to tell our audience about that one. Look, thank you very much for your time and coming in today and talking about the awards. And, you know, congratulations to all the winners and all the finalists. So well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
Cheers.